Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So I'm going to introduce you to my family because you can just place me, okay? So I'm 53 tomorrow, in case you're asking. Dave will kill me for this photo. And the reason I brought it out is that he's not here. So this is my husband and I. And then this is my son, Ryan, in the middle, who's single, girls. Single, ready to mingle. But he lives in Sydney, so that might be a problem. And then I've got some strange photos now, just so you can settle down before the iron fist in the velvet glove comes out. This is the other member of my family. No, I'm not a mad cat lady, don't worry, but I just saw you. That is Macy Gray, who is part-time feral mouse catcher and occasionally hugs you. So there, that is my family. We have lived in England for 28 years. Thank you. It deserves a cheer. There's a lot of rain. And I come from the beaches of Queensland in Australia, is where I was brought up. 28 years, and in that time, God's been so good to us. We're now one church in 12 locations. One in Germany, one in Kuala Lumpur, one in Accra in Ghana. I was talking to my Ghanaian friend, and 8 in the UK. And so God's got a lot more for us to do. But I'm going to really speak to you from my heart today because I believe God wants to move in this place this morning and he wants to really encourage you. Who needs encouragement by the Holy Spirit? Who sometimes needs God just to come and speak a second time into our spirit? So I started, of course, by saying to you first up that I am Australian. There's the elephant in the room done. And we are taught as Australians that we always have to win at everything. And it's basically an inbuilt insecurity in the nation because we come from convicts. That's where it comes from. And it's true though, isn't it? It's very true. And having lived out of Australia for 28 years, I realise, because we always think as Australians that everybody's watching our incredible sporting achievements. But having lived outside of Australia for 28 years, I realise nobody cares. So when we were being brought up, we were always told that we had to win everything. So I was like a little interesting factoid for you today is that I have two artificial hips. And that was because I was actually an athlete when I was younger and I wore the suckers out from too much running. But I was always taught I had to win. And there's something in me that's thought that that was the truth. That coming first is top of the world. Or is it? Is coming second better? Is the second thing more powerful? You know, a very common comment you hear is, I've got a second wind, like a sudden burst of energy that propels you into the next season. But the elephant in the room is that in order to say you have a second wind, you must have made a mental note that you need a second wind. Anybody with me here? Who needs a second wind from God? You must have felt the lethargy and the tiredness and the sapping of life strength that demands a need for the second wind or the second word. You must have a need in your heart of that much needed moment when God came a second time. And when the first was faded memory and the second was the choice. When was second ever the choice when first was always sought after? Because the second wind speaks of so much more. Oh, can you just sense the power of the Holy Spirit here today? It speaks of provision and a breakthrough and of direction and of purpose. When the first has lost its flavor, the second is life. Do you know, even when we talk about the Bible says that we must be born again, it's like a second birth. We are born from our mother's womb and then God says your heart needs to be born again. And there are people in this place today that you're going to have that experience, that you're going to meet Jesus and your heart is reborn and meets its creator, which is probably the most powerful thing you'll ever do in your life. Not probably, is. There's a guy in the Bible called Jonah. Jonah 3 verse 1, and it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So I'm going to read to you a bit of the story, you know, our childhood story of Jonah that we seem to do in Sunday school and then we file it away. Well, I've been reading Jonah. So let me just skip through this passage in Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of this guy. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. We can be running away from God and sitting still in our seat in church. And he went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port, and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God. And they went through the cargo to try and lighten the ship. And then they said, I'm skipping on, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. And they spoke to Jonah, what kind of work do you do? I'm a man of God. Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? And then we go on. Jonah said, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. And now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. And from the deep realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths. Did you hear that? It said, you hurled me. No, we thought life had hurled us. We thought circumstance had hurled us and nasty people had hurled us. And here in the scripture, it says, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas. And the currents swirled around me and all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight and I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep, isn't the word of God beautiful? The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, O Lord, brought my life up from the pit. And then I love this line. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah. Vomited him on a dry land. And then we go back and it says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I have sent you. The design of the depths. Jonah had been a naughty boy. Just like most of us every day in our hearts. And he'd run away from the complexity and the difficulty, no different to most of us on most days of the week. Because our running mightn't be obvious, but we know if it's in our hearts. Sometimes we are running so fast, we are going slow. Firstly, he was thrown overboard and used as a scapegoat for the salvation of others. Oh, hold on a minute. I can think of somebody else that did that. Jesus himself was sent as a scapegoat for us. He gets chucked overboard, seemed to die in a raging sea. Hello. Welcome to life. Became nice and calm. I'm talking to you this morning. It seemed to become nice and calm for everybody else. He was thrown to the elements, thrown to the wolves, chucked into the wilderness, thrown under the bus. Hello, am I talking to you this morning? It was all so profound that it threatened his life. And then it said the Lord provided a fish to swallow Jonah. God provided a vehicle of design a transport mechanism to take him to his ultimate destiny, but it wasn't a pleasant experience. This morning, the very thing that you are experiencing may just be God's transport mechanism to propel you into the second thing. This was God's vehicle of design. It was ugly and unpleasant and unattractive and looked like failure. Hello! But it was actually God's design. It was God's propulsion. I don't imagine he looked great with seaweed wrapped around his head. I imagine then there was more than seaweed. There was a lot. I'm just going there. There's probably a lot else in the belly of a whale. Multiple fish guts. Bile. Reek. I don't think Jonah would have felt too good about himself. Like, I don't know about you. I don't think I would like it if I smelt a vomit. Has this been your experience? Has the promotion into your destiny taken an ugly turn? Where the seeming turn of events has taken you into a place where you cried out for your very life. All the while not understanding that this very vehicle was propelling you into your future. Do you know Jonah was in the belly of a whale 3 days and three nights? Oh, I can think of somebody else. Jesus went to hell for us for 3 days. The longest 3 days ever. When nothing seemed to be changing. Where Jonah almost had to accept his fate and commit himself to his Savior. Where the belly led to an incredible resurrection. The only thing that promotes us into the second wind is the failure of the first. So if you feel that you've failed, welcome to the next thing. Welcome to the God moment for your life. And then the best thing happens. This is the vomit section of the message. Jonah 2 verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited. It wasn't even a nice entry. You would have thought God would have given Jonah a moment to have a cleanup. Like, okay, God, I've been through some stuff, and just give me a moment so at least I can present myself looking like I've got something. No. The Word of God says that Jonah was vomited. After 3 days, vomited into his destiny. It wasn't the coolest of entrances. That's pretty much the story of my life. Father, you've taken me through all this, and I'm turning up, and here I am vomiting in, arriving at my new job covered in sick. I'm just talking to the real world here. One of our pastors, this is not a good story, but also a fascinating story, and I have asked her, I can share it. So our young adults pastor, Lois, was 8 months pregnant. And she was preaching in a church that will remain nameless and is not connected to us. And Lois started to feel very sick halfway through her message as she was preaching. She gotta go, right? So she runs off the stage and goes into the back toilet, right? And vomits, right? But this wasn't like a female vomit. This was like an industrial. And so Lois, she's like vomits all over her clothes, right? All through her hair, right? So she's there, she's trying to, no, this gets better. So she's there like a mess, smelling, and then there's a knock on the door of the toilet. It's the pastor of the church. Are you finished now? Can you come back and finish your message? and they took her out from the toilet, covered in sick and in her hair, and she got up and preached the rest of her message. I say good on her, but we won't be sending her back. Like, listen, if you're 8 months pregnant and you vomit, go do it, enjoy yourself, but I'm not expecting you back on the platform. Sometimes when we look like this, this is our violent transition to our place of destiny. It seems transition, where God wants you to sometimes take you, can be a violent experience. But Jonah landed on the right shore in the right place. It had been a deadly, miraculous experience when Jonah was violently propelled into where he was meant to be. There's this amazing song that's on the latest C3 LA album, and it's called Thrown Against the Rock of Ages. Sometimes your experience as God pushes you into your next can be a violent thing, and you're literally thrown against the rock of ages. Thrown hard. There is always a violent launch pad into the big breakthrough. It's like the violent, shuddering G-force of an astronaut taking off into outer space. It's the forgotten Joseph in a prison who saved a generation from famine. It's the imprisoned Paul who brought Jesus to Rome. It's the violent death of Jesus whose suffering brought salvation. It's a violent spitting out. It's the transition. It's the beginning of the second chapter. The place where God spoke to Jonah a second time, and it began the beginning of the outworking of the purpose of God. But then, as I said in Jonah 3 verse 1, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And then the second wind came, the second word. The belief of God in you and his strength within you. The God who never stops taking you somewhere. Who uses the violence of transition for promotion into your next season. If you're in a place in life right now where you're here but none of it makes sense, where stuff has been tough, let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you that God is using that as your propellant into your next chapter. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on until completion. God doesn't stop in the middle and leave you hanging. He's taking you somewhere. But even more profoundly, it says in Jonah 3 verse 3, now Nineveh was a very large city, and it took 3 days to go through it. The reason God has brought you through the first and through the violent transition into this place is that he understands that his dream for your life and your house is bigger than your dream for your life. There is a very large city. The other side of your transition, the other side of this violent shaking that you've been feeling, there is a very large city. There are many people awaiting your life and your story and your testimony. And God had to take you through this violence because he wanted to take you into the second. He wanted to propel you out into something that was bigger than you could ever imagine. That's what this is all about. The future God has for you is much bigger, a bigger dream, a bigger vision. God has a very large city in mind for your life. And thus what you have been through has brought you to the place of the second wind and the second word. I wonder if I could have the incredible musicians up, please. I love your church. I'm genuinely, you know, people say stuff. No, listen, I speak truth.
Your church is amazing. It truly is. And before I finish, I want to stop for a moment. It's rare. What you have is rare. You need to cherish it. Really cherish it. Because God wants to use real people. The day of the superstar Mr. and Mrs. Charisma is over. It's time for the real people to carry Jesus. And that's who you are. You have not been through what you have been through by accident, but rather by design. But you know what our breakthrough is? A breakthrough is to thank God for the first. I've fallen in love with a new version of the Bible called the Passion Version. And it says in Song of Songs 1 verse 12, "The sweet fragrance of my praise perfume awakened the night." The breakthrough for many of us today will be praising God for the storm that we've been through. Thanking Him for it. From a real personal standpoint, my son has lived in Sydney for 5 years. I have one child. He's walking with God. He's in Oxford Falls Church and that. But it's been the hardest thing. Let me just back up a bit so you can understand. When you want to package something and you're thinking this is going to be so shocking, but I'll say it anyway, right? So I've always deeply, deeply suffered with a lack of family. I was born the baby of a gang rape, adopted at 10 days old. My dad died when I was 16, who brought me up. My mum died 5 years ago, and Ryan left for Australia 6 weeks after mum died. I have suffered a lack of family my entire life. It's like a... And just lately, I've been learning to praise God that my son's in Sydney. I've been deliberately saying, thank you, God. I mean, God, he's like the music player in the band at Presence. I mean, it's not like it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He teaches worship in the college, teaches songwriting. It's like, you know. But from a mother's heart who lacks family, it has torn me to pieces. And I've had to learn to praise God for my first. I have learnt to kiss the waves that led me to the Rock of Ages. And you may have been violently thrown, but you are being violently thrown into a place so wonderful. Do you know what we're going to do in these closing moments this morning? Is we are going to stand, right now, stand with me. And we're going to worship. Do we have people that can sing? Because you don't want me to do it. And we're going to thank God for the S storm. Sand. For the sand storm. We're going to thank God for the violent thing that we thought was the devil, but was actually God propelling us into our destiny. Hello? And we're going to worship Him with everything we've got. And as we worship, we're going to thank Him. Because He's got something so wonderful and so large for your life. It's beyond what you could even ask or imagine. You've got no clue. Let's begin to worship.